Good morning, everybody, my dear Dhamma friends. So, what an exciting moment. We are starting this retreat. And for the next 10 days, we'll be together practicing, putting the Dhamma into practice. And as it is announced in the schedule, this morning session together contains also some chanting, some instructions or encouragement, and then sitting meditation together. So what I would like to do now is to do a couple of chants. I hope that you have the chant sheets near to you. First, we'll do taking the refugees and the precepts, which is on the first page of the sheet. And after, we'll do the Metta Sutta in English. You know, you're all seasoned meditators, so I assume you are familiar with the precepts, also with the importance of ethical conduct. This is really one important pillar or base for the whole of practice, because it really matters how we behave ourselves in the world. And these ethical guidelines give a good frame that we can take to heart and try to put into practice. And of course, our behavior in the world is also a result of our practice, a result of how we view the world. Usually for a retreat in a meditation center, the five basic guidelines are to be followed, which would be number 1 to 5 here on the sheet. But then there are some more, 6, 7, 8. They form part of the so-called 8 precepts. And I don't know, maybe some of you will not eat in the evening. Maybe just have breakfast, lunch, and some juice in the evening. So then you could follow number 6, 7, and 8. It's about not singing, dancing, not adorning yourself with makeup, jewelry, and so on. And not using high and luxurious beds and seats. Of course, you can use your chairs and your beds at home. It's more like to live simply, not indulge in too much unnecessary luxury. But then the 9th precept, it's not the same as number 1 to 8, something you refrain from doing, but it's actually something to do, something to cultivate, which is loving kindness. And the set of the 9 precepts was also given by the Buddha. You can find it in the Anguttara Nikaya. And so, as you know, metta, loving kindness, a benevolent, friendly attitude of the heart and the mind, is also very important for our practice, for the practice of liberation, but also for our day-to-day life in the world. So now, as we are going to chant through this, you know, you can kind of decide for yourself whether you want to take to heart number 6, 7, and 8 or not. So you're all muted, that's good. Otherwise it will be difficult to chant together with the thing. So we start with the homage. We'll do just the Pali version. Namo Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Pannadipata viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Abrahmacharya viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Suramiraya machabhamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Vikalabhojana viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Naccha gita vadita visukhata sana malakanda vilepana dharana mandana vibhusanatana viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Ucchasayana mahasayana viramani sikkhapadang sammadhiyami. Metta sahagatina cittassa sabbavantang lokang paritava viharami. Idang me silang magapalajnanasa paccayo hotu. Now we'll do the Metta Sutta in English. You have it on page 4. It's always good to remember to have the heart and mind full of Metta and bring that to all aspects of our life. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from sense desire, is not born again into this world. Yes, so here we are to practice the Dhamma. And the Buddha called a person who really puts the Dhamma into actual practice, the Buddha called such a person a Dhamma Vihari. Dhamma is the Dhamma. Vihari is a form of vihara. You may have come across a vihara is usually a name for a monastery or a center. And it means to dwell. It's a place where one lives. And so Dhamma Vihari means a person who lives in the Dhamma, or a person who dwells in the Dhamma. In one of his discourses, the Buddha mentioned kind of five kinds of approaches we can have with the Dhamma. The first approach, he said, is one can learn and study the Dhamma. And, you know, learning the Dhamma can also mean to memorize it. And, yeah, the study. And then passing exams and so on. A second approach the Buddha mentioned is then to teach the Dhamma. So when one has studied the Dhamma, one can teach it. to others. The third approach the Buddha mentioned is one can recite the Dhamma. One can recite, you know, what is considered to be the teaching, the scriptures, chanting. And we must know that at the time of the Buddha's teaching was not written down at that time. It was committed to memory. We know that, like Venerable Ananda, one of the close disciples of the Buddha, had a fabulous memory, and he just could memorize what the Buddha said. And other, you know, monks and nuns, they had good memories too. Probably better memories than most of us have nowadays. And so then, you know, to keep the teachings of the Buddha, they usually were chanted or recited, because adding a little or a simple melody and some rhythm helps memorize a text. And we still have this tradition in Asian Buddhist countries, like in Burma. This tradition of memorizing is still quite alive. And actually in Burma, when the nuns and the monks study the scriptures, it means a lot of memorizing. Then another approach the Buddha mentioned is one can reflect upon the teaching. One can intellectually analyze on the teaching. One can ponder about the teaching. And then the fifth approach the Buddha mentioned is the actual practice of the teaching, to put it into practice. And, you know, especially then to put it into meditation practice, be it samatha meditation, be it vipassana meditation. And, you know, it's only the fifth approach, when one engages in the actual practice, that the Buddha calls such a person a Dhamma Vihari. He says only learning the scriptures, studying them, memorizing them, one is not yet a Dhamma Vihari. And, sorry. I was once on a Buddhist conference, and a Bhutanese nun had a very nice picture for that. She says, you know, only studying the teaching, even having a PhD in Buddhist philosophy, that's like a donkey carrying the scriptures on its back. So, you know, for the Dhamma to be really a helpful tool for inner transformation that leads to greater freedom, to complete liberation eventually, one has to really practice it. But the Buddha also said in that discourse that the first four approaches, they are also valid, you know, and they can be a base that, you know, a helpful base, a helpful way in order then to put the Dhamma into practice and for a deep understanding and liberation. So, yeah, here we are trying to really put it into actual practice. And to do that, we'll do a guided or a meditation together. I will give some inputs for this meditation. So make sure you sit in a way that is comfortable. Be aware of your posture. Aware that you are sitting. Notice the upper part of the body that is upright, the back is straight, and yet relaxed. And then notice the lower part of the body, those parts which are touching something, the buttocks touching the cushion, the chair, the legs touching maybe the floor, the cushion, the feet touching the ground. We can let go of tensions in the body, maybe around the shoulders, or tensions in the face, in the jaw. And let go of tensions in the mind. Right now, the most important thing is to sit here. To be anchored in the body. And we can take some moments just to be aware of the body, its posture, and the sensations we can notice in the body, in certain parts of the body. And then gradually we can bring our awareness to the experience of the breath, wherever we are used to be mindful of the experience of breathing. This may be around the abdomen, movement of the belly, sensations in that area, or it may be around the chest, sensations, movements happening caused through the breath, or it may be around the nostrils, the sensations of the air going in, coming out. So we can have our mindfulness directed to that area where we usually are aware of the experience of breath, and then simply let the awareness be there, be present with the sensations, with the movements that are happening. Apart from the experience of the breath with its sensations, movements, there might be other sensations, movements in the body. If they are more dominant than the breath, awareness can go to these sensations in the body, be aware of them, noting them, observing them, exploring these sensations by just being mindful of them as they are from moment to moment. At the beginning of a retreat, I always find it helpful to focus a bit more on the body, to establish mindfulness, to calm down the mind. So what I suggest for today, for the first day of practice is, to more or less stay in the body with the experience of the breath, and or with other sensations in the body. So that helps to establish a good base for our mindfulness. And it helps to calm the mind, to build up concentration. Today we'll have the group meetings. The first group will be in about an hour, the second group in about 3 hours. So your names and times are on the bulletin board. That's the time for exchange, to ask questions, and especially today, to get you started in your practice. So then we can discuss that, and I have some more practical things to say in regard to the practice. And just a reminder for the group practice meeting, you have to use the other Zoom link, because this is kind of the meditation hall that this can continue. All right. Thank you very much for your practice. See you.